Das Tefillah 78. Okay, we are finishing section 3 of the issue that the Tefillah is based on the Karbanos, right? So he has basically one more point to make here, I think, if I could be so bold as to say he's got one more point, but this is what he's about to say. Okay. Ukashem shebeavodas ha'akrova masig ha'makriv shleimus lalos uliskasher ba'olam haruchani dveikus gemura. Just like when it comes to the korbanos, a person who truly brings a korban, and the intent of his korban is to sort of separate, as we've said, between that which goes down and that which goes up. Right, we've made that point, that the point of the korban is to, in fact, doesn't sound like a very avant-garde, you know, liberal kind of idea, but is actually to kill the animal. That's actually the point of the sacrifice, is actually to kill the animal. God doesn't need the animal. God needs us to demonstrate that there's the physical and there's the spiritual. And he needs, because it's not convenient, to kill the animal in us on a regular basis. He has us actually kill an animal. The animal doesn't feel a lot of pain. Animal will get over it. Same animal could have been just bought as a hamburger. Now it's being bought as a korban. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually has us put the animal down and the spirit rise up. Right? And that's part of the idea of the animal being sacrificed, and sort of the idea of the flames going into the fire and the smoke rising up. It sort of is a separating between the physical and the spiritual. And tefillah is the same thing. Kachu inyan gam ba'avodas ha'tefillah. Kafi shemavar b'nefesh ha'chayim ve'inyan she'avodas ha'tefillah hi b'makom avodas ha'korban. So what we do today is we do this instead of demonstrating it on an animal, we actually do demonstrate it on ourselves. That's actually what we do. We actually demonstrate it on ourselves. We don't kill ourselves. We don't put ourselves to the ground. But we do sort of paralyze ourselves. We do sort of stand still. We do separate from our animal lives for a little bit. We carry this out in our minds, right? We can't do it physically, because there are really only two ways to do this physically. Either to bring an animal sacrifice, which we can't bring today, or a human sacrifice, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. So there are those two options. So we need to do it in our mind. We need to do it ke'ilu, as if. That's the only thing we can do, is to make it as if we were separating ourselves from our bodies. How do we separate ourselves from our bodies? That's what the silent meditation is. That's what's at the heart of the idea of Shemoneh Esrei, being a meditation. I calm the body, I push away the body, and I allow the spiritual to come forward. That's exactly what happens when I bring a korban. Just like a korban was to separate between the physical being on the bottom and to separate, to bring up, to uplift the animal and its even its animal soul up to God. And therefore, the main thing, the main kapara, when you brought an animal, when you brought a sacrifice, the main thing wasn't shechting the animal. The main thing wasn't burning it on the altar. The main thing was taking the blood and throwing the blood on the altar, raising up the nefesh. Raising up the blood. The blood is associated with the very life force. And again, as well as the putting the things on the Mizbeach and having things rise up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing with tefillah, is to attach oneself to God, understanding that on some level I can't attach myself to God unless I'm willing to still the body, unless I'm willing to take a little bit of time off. Have any of you been trying this over the last couple of weeks?
Yes, it doesn't work. Well, I haven't been able to get it to work. I'm sorry.
Okay, but You got to try harder.
Time,
you got to try harder. It's when you feel like you can't concentrate,
right,
that you have to tell the body to go away for a little bit. Just go away. Come back another day. Come back in 10 minutes. Come back in 3 minutes.
I was way more successful with like that guided meditation through the base of Mikdash.
Okay.
You had it 2 years ago.
You can do that as well. You could do that as well. And that's actually what he's going to speak about. He's actually going to speak a little bit about taking yourself to the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe you could try this trick from here.
What you mentioned also about saying the words and focusing on the words actually helped me separate. And I was just concentrating on the words.
It's a meditation technique, right? It's very, very difficult for us to concentrate on nothing. Right, all meditation techniques, at least for those who are learning to meditate, don't have you take everything away. They have you focus on one thing. Right, they have you focus on something you're looking at, or a picture of a candle in your mind, or focusing on your breathing, or focusing on counting. Right, it's very, very difficult for those of us who are not trained in meditation to just move things away. We have to concentrate on something else, right? Because the reality is, if you think about it, the best way to put down our animal selves is probably just to go to sleep. Why pray? Just take a nap. I promise you that tefillah would be much more popular if it were just taking a nap. Right? A lot of people would get into that. But that doesn't really work to clear our minds very much, certainly not when we're conscious. We have to turn our attention to something else. Right, and that's what allows us to create that. And the Nefesh HaChaim writes, or Chaim Voloshin writes, that the person who's in the right space when they're praying should think that he's separated from the world. Separated from the world. And he's now amongst the beings in Shamayim. Ad shegam achar hatfila yikshelo ma'od lahafnos machshavaso l'inyon izaholam. Have you ever not wanted to leave a Shemoneh Esrei? That's how you know it was a good one. When you come back to Earth, and it's very, very, the things around feel very, very petty. They don't feel nearly as important or as meaningful or as real as what you just experienced in tefillah. One of the things that I always rail against is that in shul, when people are davening in shul, when they take their 3 steps back, they not only take a look behind them to see, it's nice to know that you're not going to run anybody over. That's just menschlichkeit, that before you take your 3 steps back, so see if you're going to ram over somebody. But not only do people take 3 steps back, but what else do they do? They look around to see where everybody else is up to, right? There's a need to do this. When I take my 3 steps back, I need to scan the entire room, and I need to see what everybody's up to, and who finished the Shemoneh Esrei, and who didn't finish the Shemoneh Esrei, and did I place, am I in the right spot? I don't want to be the last one to finish because then I'm too frum. I don't want to be the first one. I want to be like comfortably towards the end of the people so I seem frum but not fanatic. Why are we so interested in what goes on in shul when we've just been in Shemayim? I understand you open up your eyes. And unless, again, you know where you are. A lot of times, there's nobody behind you. You know that. You're in a row of seats. You're not going to run into anybody. But let's say you open up your eyes just to make sure. Just take a quick glance behind you to see before you take your 3 steps back. Close your eyes again. Close your eyes again. Savor that. Savor being away. Savor being in Shemayim. What I try to do is not to open my eyes until the end of Chazaras Hashatz. Till the end of Chazaras Hashatz, which again, depending on how I placed myself in that group of people, may not be that long from the time I finish Shemoneh Esrei. But even when I'm davening in YU and I actually finish Shemoneh Esrei with everybody else, so I try not to keep my eyes open till the end of Chazaras Hashatz. Why? Because there's nothing as pleasurable in that room as feeling like I was standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as feeling like I was away, as feeling that moment of being, right? Being mibnei aliyah lamala, of being with the heavenly beings up above until it's yikshelo ma'od lahafnos machshavasa. I don't want to come back. What am I rushing back for? What am I rushing back? The same feeling that I should have when I take my three steps forward and I drop my shoulders and I say, whew, made it back out of the world again. I'm out. I'm out. Baruch Hashem. I made it back out of the world. Now I'm back talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That same feeling should carry with us through our three steps back and beyond. We should not be looking to open up our eyes anytime soon. Dr. J, you want to say something?
No, I'm still digesting.
Okay, good. The Yehe Be'enav Ki'ilu Nofel Umetafes V'yored Me'ikru Rama L'Bira Amikta. And when you take three steps back from the Shemoneh Esrei, it should be in your eyes like you fell and went down steps and descended from a very high place to a very, very low, low place. Okay, you literally just took a trip from Shemayim back to where you were standing before. And then he says so beautifully, Uki'inyan chasidim harishonim, shahayu shoim shoa achas gam achar hatfila. And that's why, says Reb Chaim Voloshiner, that's why it took the rabbis of old, remember, the Gemara and Bracha says that they davened for 9 hours a day. 1 hour to prepare, 1 hour to daven, and then 1 hour to what? I understand the hour to prepare. It's hard to relate to that. But I understand the hour to prepare in theory. I understand the hour in Shemoneh Esrei. But what did they do for an hour afterwards? The answer is they got so far away, they had to come back. Or they relished that place. They relished the place they were in. They enjoyed being there. They didn't want to come back. And that reflected on the whole experience of tefillah itself. So that we have to have that soft landing from Shemoneh Esrei, rather than sort of taking the three steps back and then looking around and getting involved in things. Take your time. Take your time. Chazaras Hashatz, which I think there's many reasons why we should listen to Chazaras Hashatz, and we shouldn't do our own things during Chazaras Hashatz. But one of them is to sort of hold on to that feeling for as long as we can. Try that. Try to hold on if you feel you've gotten away in tefillah. See how long you can stay in that place and enjoy that place before you have to come back to the reality of this world. Right? Okay. Kol kach godol koach avodas halev udvekas hamachshava. This power to get away, to use your mind, to leave your body, to go somewhere, Shigam et richuk shel hamako. It makes up not only for, it's not only a question of the physical and the spiritual. It allows you to travel back to the Beis HaMikdash itself, because you're outside of time and space. Et hachalal hachaser shel hamikdash mimales hatfila. That which is missing from not having the Beis HaMikdash, this whole experience is a spiritual experience instead of a physical one. And tefillah allows us to make up not only for the physical, not only make up the physical actions of the mikdash, because now we understand that even though the physical actions of the mikdash were done with our hands, they were actually the opposite. They were the pushing away of the material. They were the putting down of the chomrius. Not only can it replace that, but it can even replace time and space. We can go to the mikdash. V'chein hayu dvarav hakadoshim shel Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is what Rabbeinu Yonah said. Al ha-Gemara, ha-mispal al-tzor she'itin einav lamata v'libo l'mala. The Gemara tells us that when we daven, we have to put our eyes down and our heart up. What does that mean? Kolomar, she'achshov b'libo ki'ilu hu omed b'shamayim. You should imagine that you are standing in the heavens. And remember the exercise that we suggested to do this, the airplane. Okay, I don't think Rabbeinu Yonah was thinking about the airplane, but that's the basic idea. Imagine, as we talked about, going through the clouds in the airplane and imagining that boom, that moment when you realize it's always sunny up there, at least during the day. Even if it's pouring down here, that boom, I'm suddenly looking down at the world from a very, very different perspective. I'm now with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world is still there. I'm going to talk to him about the world. The world is not going to disappear, but I'm not in the world right now. I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yasir mi libo kol ta'anugei olam hazeh v'chol hana'ot haguf. And I look down and I look at the world and I realize that it's not as important as I thought it was. It's not as real as I thought it was. It's not as pleasurable as I thought it was. It's really nice being up there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ke'inyan she'amru akadmonim, k'shetertze l'chavein, if you want to have kavana, pshot gufeich ma'al nishmatech. Take your guf away. Leave your guf down here. Go up into Shemayim. Ula'achar she'agia l'zu ha'machshava, but after you've pulled away from the world, after you've left your place, after you've gone up in the plane, after you've settled yourself for a moment and realized you're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's office up there, then says Rabbeinu Yonah, because remember, it says, Einav lamata velibo lamala. I understand, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that your heart is supposed to be up there. What does it mean? What are you doing down here? You can't be in both places. Yachshov gamkein ke'ilu hu omeid bebeit hamikdash shehu lamata. Once you've pulled yourself away, he says, then take a moment to imagine that you're inside the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah that it's not that you're just imagining that you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're imagining that you're in the Kodesh HaKodashim. You're in the Kodesh HaKodashim, standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, for those of you who have done the 3D temple virtual reality thing, so you can get this image in your head now a little bit. You can get this image and imagine that you're actually being led on a tour. And the tour is, it says, you can see there's a new exhibit there by the Kotel Tunnels, and it says actual tour of the Beis HaMikdash. This is a few weeks from now when the Beis HaMikdash is built. And there's a sign that for 25 shek, you can actually go on a tour for the Beis HaMikdash. And you go up, and you step in, and now we kind of all, if you've done the virtual reality thing, you kind of know what that feels like to now walk into the Beis HaMikdash. And the guide says, come, we're going to go into the Heichal, we're going to go in the building. And you're like, I don't know if you're allowed to do that. I thought that was only Kohanim. And he goes, nah, come on, it's going to be fine. So you go into the Heichal, and you see the menorah, and you see the Shulchan with the Lechem upon him, and you've already passed the little golden altar. And he says, come, now we're going to go into the Kodesh HaKadashim. And you're like, I'm sure that this guy is not, that this is not allowed. I'm sure it's not allowed. But you look around, like you look when you go in a restaurant, you don't know. Everyone else is wearing a yarmulke. Kechra is probably good. So he says, come on. And he pulls aside the curtain and he takes you all and you're standing in front of the Aron. And then suddenly he realizes nobody there except you. That's the power of a Shmoneh Esrei. The power of a Shmoneh Esrei, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is to take you to a place that only once a year the Kohen Gadol is able to do, three times a day we're able to access that place. Why in the world are we looking to step backwards? Why are we rushing in our Shmoneh Esreis? And I always tell people, those who are davening in shul especially, I can understand you're rushing in Ma'ariv. Because in Ma'ariv, when you finish Shmoneh Esrei, you basically get to go home. So new. But Shachris and Mincha, there's Chazaras Hashatz and there's other stuff there anyway. So you're going to be in shul anyway. Why be in the shul down here when you could be standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Tammy.
So just a technical question, based on what you're saying, where does that put us during Kedusha? If I'm still in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and the Chazan's already up to Kedusha, So
you stand there and you listen. You stand there and you listen. Yeah, you stand there and you listen. You don't say the words. You're still there. You stand there and you listen.
Thank you.
So that's what he says. This is how to put your tefillos for Kadosh Baruch Hu. You start by leaving the world. You're away. Once you're away, you're outside of time and space. Once you've pulled away from, you can't walk. You can't walk from your living room into the Beis Hamikdash because you can't do that because now you're still in the world. But once you've left the world, once you've left your guf behind and you're up in Shemayim, you go anywhere you want, says Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is the spiritual practice that Rabbeinu Yonah suggests. Imagining first that I'm up in Shemayim and then imagining that I'm standing in front of the Aron. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. B'kocha shel tatfila livkoa migvulot makom uzman. Tfila takes us out of time and place. Shehare makom uzman heim me'inyanei hachomer. Time and place are both dimensions of this world. Everybody always understood that place is a dimension of this world. Einstein proved that time is also connected to this world. And if you look in the Rambam said the same thing in the Mor Nevuchim. That's what he said. But no one believed the Rambam until Einstein said it. That time is also a function of this world. If you were really out of this world, you wouldn't be affected by time. And God is not, of course, affected by time. Tefila takes us out of there. Olama shel haneshama v'hamachshava hakadosha, omed meromem l'malam mebechinas elam. You're just out of that, and you should be out of time. You shouldn't be thinking about what time it is. You shouldn't be thinking about what you're finishing. That's what the day is about. The day is about these times, and however long it takes. How long does a good Shmoneh Esrei take? However long it takes. That's the answer. Until you're finished. Right? It's like going into a restaurant, Lahavdil Elif Avdalis, and ordering the best steak, saying, how long is it going to take to eat the steak? I don't know. However long it takes. I'm here to eat the steak. I'm here with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahavdil Elif Avdalis. How long does the Shmoneh Esrei take? It takes as long as it takes. Hadvarim niflam umeromamim heim es hamibonim behem. These things should be uplifting to us just to talk about them. To realize the power of our minds, the power of what we can do with our thoughts. Beginning to understand, to tap into the power of what tefillah is able to do. We're going to shift gears a whole bunch next week. We're going to go, this is all to answer the first question. We'll review the two questions of the Ramban. Next week, Bli Neder, we will go into Hakoshi Hasheni, Shebedivrei HaRamban. We'll talk about how a service of God is really for us, and it's still a service for God. That was the second question that the Ramban wanted to know. If the whole purpose of tefillah is just for us because God doesn't need it, then what kind of service is that? Are we doing God a favor? Are we doing ourselves a favor? It certainly doesn't sound like an act of work. So we'll have to discuss that next time through the Ramban, and that's what we'll pick up next week. Okay, have a wonderful week, everyone. I hope that some of you